It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer Kent. Over the weekend, President Trump announced he will raise a new global tariff to 15%, less than one day after announcing a 10% worldwide duty in response to Friday's major legal setback.
The U.S. Supreme Court struck down the sweeping import tariffs President Trump had imposed at the beginning of his second term.
In the ruling, the court argued that the president overstepped his authority when he invoked an emergency to levy global import taxes on nearly every U.S. trading partner.
Trump said the ruling was, quote, deeply disappointing and described the justices as fools, as disloyal to the Constitution, and as swayed by foreign interests. The White House is implementing the new global tariff under a different trade law.
Coming up, we'll hear from a licensed customs broker who helps Wisconsin companies navigate trade rules.
First, what does the Supreme Court decision and a potential new 15% duty mean for our state's agricultural industry?
Brenda Botel is professor and department chair of agricultural economics at UW River Falls. Brenda, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
You keep a close watch on Wisconsin's agricultural industry. What is your reaction to the Supreme Court's decision on Friday?
Well, it's going to take some time to really find out exactly what the fallout's going to be from this. You know, as with the imposition of the tariffs, there was some concern because the tariffs basically increased a lot of those input costs for agricultural producers. So fertilizer, seed, you know, pesticides, equipment, things like that. And then when we had those retaliatory, it kind of cut off some of the trade that we were having. So a lot of industries, particularly when we talk about it, where we're looking at tariffs, what they see, the soybean producers have had some impacts on this, beef producers, and we're going to eventually see how this all plays out.
Okay, so your input costs, meaning your feed and your fertilizer, your farm machinery, could this mean immediate relief, a relief in the future for farmers in the state? What is the timeline here?
It can take a little bit. I mean, some of these are going to be a shorter term if we can get that through. So, like, we should see fertilizer prices declining some if we have with these changes in the tariffs and that, you know, equipment can take a little bit longer of that. And then hopefully what we see too is hopefully where we're getting even more concerned is what's going to happen with some of these retaliatory tariffs. Mm. So, you know, right now, prior to this, you know, we have the meetings Trump has the meeting with the Chinese president, upon with which he was hoping to, and we were hoping to see and make sure where we're going with some of these tariffs. Prior to this, you know, China had been made a purchase of 12 million metric tons of soybeans, and with a statement that they were going to purchase 8 million metric tons. Now, because we have a little bit less of this negotiation, we'll have to see whether or not this comes out, whether or not they actually purchase these soybeans.
Now, Brenda, taking a look at the consumer side, you know, we've seen the price of beef at the grocery store keep going up and up, hitting a record high after rising another 15% over the past year. Were tariffs contributing to those rising costs?
There's some depending on which countries. And one of the things that we will see with the 15% tariffs that Trump is putting on in the new category is that beef is exempt from this. So
yeah,
it is not going to have that, mostly because that is one of the things that he has been heralding, is trying to bring down those beef prices. He is looking at that. And so we're saying we are not going to bring in and put additional tariffs on beef for the U.S. We just have a shortage of beef right now. And so putting on tariffs of any kind to it is going to be problematic as far as for the U.S. consumer in getting that beef price lower.
You know, the on-again, off-again nature of the global tariffs, the unpredictability of U.S. economic policy, how does that affect Wisconsin's agricultural industry?
Well, it's volatility. As you said, and any volatility creates even more greater risks. That's one of the issues that we have. And that's one of the things that many of the producers are looking for. If you look at different, like the American Soybean Association, or that, they're just like, we want to have some stability right now so that we can have this stable farm economy to know whether or not we're going to be able to grow or not, because with this volatility and knowing whether or not input costs are going to be higher or whether or not they're going to have lower costs due to this tariff and these changes that come about in relative terms somewhat quickly, that creates a lot of risk for these producers.
Brenda, thank you for this update.
Thank you very much for having me.
That is Brenda Botel, Professor and Department Chair of Agricultural Economics at UW-River Falls. Now we turn to a licensed trade broker for a look at what companies and importers can expect in the coming days and weeks. Shannon Bryant is here, President of Trade IQ. It's a Wisconsin firm that helps companies navigate trade rules. Shannon, welcome back.
Thank you so much for having me.
We spoke with you Friday. You said tariffs were still being collected at that time. They didn't come to a halt immediately. How do you see this ruling playing out in the coming days and weeks and as commerce doesn't stop?
Right. So according to the CSMS message, so that's how CBP communicates to the trade community, the tariffs are going to be collected until midnight tonight. Effective midnight, the IEEPA tariffs that were overturned by the Supreme Court will come off, and we expect that they will be replaced with the Section 122 tariffs. That has been announced formally. However, the implementing mechanics have not been published yet, so I expect to see those come out sometime today.
Okay, so the 122 means this 15% global tariff the president decided to do after the court ruling.
That is correct.
So the Supreme Court decision struck down the tariffs imposed under the International Emergency Economic Powers Act, but there are other ways for a president to levy import taxes. Can you talk about what is this next approach here for the Trump administration?
So it was said, you know, Scott Bessent had said, I think over a month ago already, that, you know, they expected to be ready to replace the IEEPA tariffs with the Section 122. I view that as a stopgap measure, right? Mm-hmm. Something that they could put in place quickly, but there is a ceiling to that. That ceiling is 15%, and there's a time duration to that of 150 days. After that, it has to be reauthorized by Congress, which has, you know, a little bit more of an uphill battle. In the interim, there have been active Section 232, so those are national security related investigations, and then as well as Section 301, so that's about unfair trade investigations. Now, that has to go through a formal process, so there's an investigation process, they have to do an advance notice of proposed rulemaking, federal comment period, and, you know, official conclusion. So those take a little bit more time. So I view this Section 122 tariff as a stopgap while they figure out those strategic industries and countries that they want to target for additional tariffs through the Section 232 and 301 mechanisms, right? Just buys them a little bit of time. The one thing to be aware of is Section 232 and 301, because they do go through that formal process, they're a lot stickier, right? So once those get on, they're very, very hard to peel back off again.
Well, meanwhile, businesses are saying, hey, Supreme Court decides this can't happen, so we want our money back, right? You know, that they're looking to be able to recoup some of those tariff, you know, money that they doled out. What is that process going to be like?
So we don't know that yet. We're still waiting to find out what the information about the administrative procedures for getting the refunds back of the IEEPA tariffs. One thing that the trade community should be aware of is the Court of International Trade ruled last December, in the Costco case in particular, that they had the authority to order reliquidation of the tariffs. And the Department of Justice actually confirmed that they would not fight that. Right. So what that would mean is if the Court of International Trade ordered reliquidation, that could be an automatic refund, which historically has been done before. Right. So when you think about GSP, so the Generalized System of Preferences that we used to have for developing nations. Right. When that would lapse and Congress would reinstate it retroactively, those refunds would just go to the importers automatically. Right. Mm. So the administration has a mechanism to do that. And in the last couple of months, one of the things that they've required that has been published by CBP is that importers set up their ACH refunds. So set up their bank account information so that they can get their refunds automatically. So if you're listening to this and you're an importer and you haven't set up your ACH account, I strongly suggest prioritize, do that now so that you're ready and you can get your refunds because they're not going to send paper checks anymore. Now, while they can do automatic refunds, I guess I'll break out my crystal ball a little bit here, but I suspect that won't be the case just because, you know, the administration has said numerous times and talked about how much revenue they've collected on these IEEPA tariffs. So my spidey sense says that it will be treated more like a Menards rebate. If you want it, come get it. Right.
Okay.
Be a lot more administratively burdensome for importers who have to get that paperwork together and file for those refunds individually.
That would keep you busy as well. And, you know, you work with a lot of Wisconsin companies on helping them understand this complex trade landscape. Will Wisconsin firms, do you think, make changes with their import shipments in light of the ruling? What could change in reaction to this ruling?
You know, I wouldn't expect that folks would change their sourcing patterns drastically because we still don't have that certainty, right? Mm. Industry needs a certain amount of certainty and to be able to forecast appropriately to be able to make long-term decisions, right? Yeah. And at the moment, we don't have that certainty. What we know for sure is that we'll have the Section 122 tariffs. I highly expect those will be contested in the courts as well. For various different reasons. So again, there we don't have certainty. And then on the Section 232 and 301 investigations, whether they are pending or newly launched, again, they don't know what that impact is going to be to them. So, you know, would you make a $10 million business decision on an unknown?
You might need to be in a holding pattern at this point. Well, yeah, Shannon, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. You have a great day.
You too. Shannon Bryant, a licensed U.S. customs broker with Trade IQ. Earlier, we heard from agricultural economist Brenda Botel from UW River Falls. We've been talking about the Supreme Court's decision on Friday striking down the Trump administration's sweeping tariffs.